It's something that we just don't talk about enough, just worship. And so let's look at worship a little bit. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that as we study your word, we might understand what we're hearing, Father, and what we're reading, and we might worship you in truth, Father. In Jesus' name, pray, amen. In the youth class, we're going through just simple things like worship. We're going to go through courage. I'm preparing that. Honesty. Things like that. And then what we're doing is going through the Bible, find the word, seeing what the word is being used for, what the King James word is, what the word is in the Greek and Hebrew, and how is it being used? I mean, what is God saying about the subject? A simple subject like worship, God has a lot to say about the subject of worship. Okay? You'd be surprised how many things he has to say about the honesty and courage and things like that. And so that's what we're doing in our youth class. This would have been Sunday morning, so my Sunday school there. So we're going to teach this to you tonight. And we're going to start with the word worship. The word worship comes from the Hebrew word shaka. Okay, now this is interesting what it means. It means to depress. That is prostrate. Pay homage to royalty or God. Right? Homage, royalty or God. Bow yourself down, crouch, fall flat. Humbly beseech, do or make obeisance, do reverence, make to stoop. The word is actually a physical action, isn't it? I mean, besides humbly beseech, which you would do in a position like that, the word is an action word. You're doing something. Okay? And it's really kind of a humbling experience when you look at it. I'll give you an example of worship has nothing to do with God. In Hawaii, when they had the alihi rule in the country, they were very big people. Okay? And when they came down the street, everybody bowed down the street and bowed down. Nobody looked at them. They bowed down as the alihi walked by. They took their worship very seriously. How seriously? If the alihi's shadow touched you, they took you and they killed you. Because they didn't want you even touching the shadow of the alihi. That's how much they worshiped their kings as their gods. Okay? Just simply, that's what they felt was worship. Okay? Now, it's kind of distorted, but it's a really powerful image of what happened. Okay? So I'm not saying that's how we worship God. I'm just telling you that when you worship, it's really a humbling experience where it's not you. It's all about the person you're worshiping. If it's royalty, like they bow to royalty, the queen, you bow to the queen, you humble yourself to her. Right? You bow your head, you kneel down, until the queen acknowledges you, then you look up. Okay? Because you're bowing to royalty. Well, that's worship, believe it or not. That's a form of worship. The worship is the action. The word actually means the action of bowing down, of submitting yourself to that person. That's what the word worship means. Now, I'm sure we don't say they worship the queen, but the word itself is that. So I want you to understand what the word means, because it's a powerful word. It's an action word. All right? So knowing that, then we're going to look for the first place the word ever appears in the Bible. Genesis 22. And we'll start at verse 5. First place the word ever appears in the Bible. I always like that with the class. We go to the first place it ever appears because it's interesting how God uses it. I'll give you a hint to the next lesson. The first time you see courage in the Bible, it's in a negative sense. Okay? So it's not always a positive thing. The first time you see music in the Bible, it's when the ancestors of Cain are inventing instruments. Just want you know, it's interesting when you look up the first mention of the word and how God uses it. So here's the first mention, and I want to get this because it's very important. We're going to start from verse 5. And Abraham said to the young men, abide you here with him, with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. Now, you know what this is, right? This is Abraham getting ready to sacrifice Isaac. We know what this is. We're all familiar with this. So let's take our familiarity and put aside, and let's see what it has to do with worship. The first time it's ever mentioned here is in verse 5, yonder and worship, and come again unto you. So we're going to go worship. We're going to go make obeisance to God. We're going to go give God his due. Okay? So this is a serious thing. He's going to come, and he's going to worship God. So the first time we see the word worship, what's going on? Well, it's a picture of Christ the first time we see worship. Look at that. And Isaac spake unto Abraham and says, Father, verse 6. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and took the fire in his hand and knife, and they went both of them together. They're going up the hillside. A beautiful picture of Christ taking his cross and walking up the hill to be sacrificed. This is the first time God mentions worship. The first time the word appears. And it has to do with a picture of Christ in Isaac and Abraham. All right? And Abraham took the wood and the burnt offering. Oh, sorry. And Isaac said, spake unto Abraham, his father, and he said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. He said, behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for burnt offering? That's a good question. Where is the lamb for burnt offering? You cannot sacrifice to God without the lamb. We can't worship God without sacrifice. What are we doing? How can we go and approach God for sacrifice without having a sacrifice? Because God demands a sacrifice. He demands a blood sacrifice. And so Isaac knows this. And he's confused about what's going on here. But you know the answer, right? It is not, you're familiar with this. And Abraham says, son, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for the burnt offering. So they went both of them together. God himself will provide the lamb for the offering. See, it's God himself that provides for worship services. It's God himself that brings us to worship him. Okay? We're just not here by accident. God himself wants to be worshipped, and he wants to be worshipped correctly. Okay? So now, we see, and they get up there, and then we tell them their place, which God had told them of, and Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood upon the altar, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar of wood. Now, look at the tremendous parallels with Christ there. Isaac could easily overcome Abraham. He's way stronger than Abraham. Doesn't mention any fighting. It seems to me he just acquiesced to his father. Okay, father, if that's what you want to do, if that's what God says to do, I'm going to do that. See, worship is really yielding yourself to God. Okay? What you do here is you yield yourself to God when you come to worship him. If you don't, you're not worshiping God. No matter when you worship, you don't worship a church. But whenever you worship God, if you don't yield yourself to him, it's not worship at all. Okay? So that's what's going on here. Excuse me. I'm a little scratchy because I've not been doing too good. Okay. And so Abraham laid him on the altar, okay? And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called upon the angel of the Lord, that's capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, class. My class, who is that? Jehovah. Very good. They know that. That's Jehovah. That means that is God himself. God himself said, okay, Abraham, not enough. Good. See, God himself accepted the worship. What he didn't want was him to sacrifice Isaac. He told him to bring his son and do that, didn't he? But now he says, no, I don't want that sacrifice. That's a fascinating thing to me. I don't want that sacrifice now. That's what I wanted, but that's not what I want. I told you to do it, but that's not what I want. Okay, so he stops Abraham, and he says, you know what? He says, and he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast withstand thy son, thine only son from me. God wants you completely. God wants you to worship him completely. Don't hold anything back. Okay? That's when he told Abraham, I believe you now. See, when you hold something back from God, he don't believe you're worshiping him. God believed Abraham because he didn't hold nothing back. He was going to give his only son. All right? But you know, that's not what God wanted. God wanted just Abraham to prove himself that he would hold nothing back from God. And so he didn't. And so Abraham lifted up his eyes and behold, look, and you know that story? There's a ram caught in the thicket by the horns, and Abraham went and took the ram and offered him the burnt offering instead of a son. All right. The ram, of course, a picture of Christ being sacrificed in the stead of Abraham. I mean, of Isaac. God said, wait, no. I am going to provide the sacrifice, not you. On the cross, God provided the sacrifice, not man. Okay? This is worship. I love the next verse. And Abraham called the name of the place what? Jehovah Jireh. as David was called, it said, the mount of the Lord, it shall be seen. Because the word means God shall see. God will see. What would God see? What did God see there? That the place of God, what God will see? He saw Abraham willing to give it all, and he saw a great picture of his son, and he saw the future and hoped that Abraham saw the future too. In worship, you understand the entirety of God's commands. You understand the entirety of God's work. You cannot worship unless you have the entirety of what happened to Christ for your sake. You're not worshiping unless you really believe in those things and understanding the sacrifice that was made. That's worship. Okay? So the first time we see the word worship, it includes an entire picture of the death of Christ. Okay? Acted out before you. And that's the first time God used the word worship. All right. So, what can we conclude from these verses? Well, in worship, God desires our best and most precious items to be sacrificed to him. God said that he is more important to us than them. Okay? Are our most important possessions more important to us than God? That's not the way it should be. Abraham was going to sacrifice his son, who was the most important thing to him, his most important possession. Matter of fact, the promised son, the son that his seed was going to go through. So God, that's what God wanted. That's what he was going to provide. Okay, let's look at Exodus now. Exodus 34:14. Excuse me. Exodus 34:14. Okay. Now, if you go to Matthew and go all the way back to Genesis, you'll pass Exodus. Just if you're looking for the book. Okay. Okay, Exodus 34:14. For thou shalt not worship no other god but for the Lord God. His name is jealous. He is a jealous God. God's commandment to worship him and him alone. Don't know other God. Don't have anything before him. You want to worship God? It's him and him alone. We don't worship the state. We don't worship the president. We don't worship Congress. We don't worship the mayor. We don't worship the song leader. We don't worship the preacher. We worship God. Don't worship the building here. We worship God. All right? Don't have any gods before him. He's jealous. But you want to get God jealous of you? I don't want God jealous of me. You ever see people when they're jealous? And God has a righteous jealousy, which is even worse. Because his jealousy is righteous and his response is righteous. All right. Let's look now at Deuteronomy 11:16-17. Some of the things I say here, like the go to black and go back, that's for my class. We have fun in class. These guys know how to use their Bibles and find things and read things. I got to tell you, I'm proud of them teenagers. This is the kind of stuff I teach them. It's not trite stuff. Okay, Deuteronomy 11:16-17. Take heed to yourselves that your heart be not deceived, and ye turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. And then the Lord's wrath be kindled against you, and he shut up the heaven that there be no rain, and that the land yield not fruit, lest ye perish quickly from off the good land which the Lord giveth you. Okay, another time that God commands no false worship. Huh? You better keep your eyes on God. That's what it's saying there. You better just look forward and not to the side or back. When you get your eyes on false God, no matter what that is, God's going to see to it that you do not have a comfortable time with it until you come back to him. Okay? You want to keep your eyes on God. All right? That's what that's telling us. Keep our eyes on God. Let's look at Deuteronomy 26:10. And now, behold, I have brought the first fruits of the land which the Lord our Lord had given me, and thou shalt set it before the Lord thy God and worship before the Lord thy God. God needs to come first God always wants you to put him first, and God desires the first of everything you do. The whole thing about the first fruits is that the first thing that came off the property, the land, the first animal was brought to God. You took care of God first. You gave God first. And then you took care of yourself. Or rather, God took care of you. But now we don't put God first. God comes down the list. What's important to me? This, oh God. God needs to come on top of the list in everything we do and say. He comes first. And that's what he's saying. If I want to be first. Is he wrong for wanting to be first? Absolutely not. He created the heavens and earth and everything here, and he created you and me, and he saved our souls, and he should and will be first, or not at all. All right. Let's look at the Samuel, 1 Samuel 15 and 24 to 26. It's a fascinating piece of scripture here. First Samuel 15, 24 to 26. And Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed thy voice. Now, therefore, I pray thee, pardon my sin and turn again with me that I may worship the Lord. God is not going to tolerate our thinking that disobedience is okay. See that? I disobeyed God, but that's okay. Come with me to worship him. No, that's not how God works. God doesn't think your disobedience to him is okay. That's why Samuel would not go and worship with him. Because he sinned. Saul sinned. He brought all the animals back. He wasn't supposed to bring anything back. And he said, that's okay. I sinned. I know that. But let's go. Come with me to worship God. Well, you can't. You can't worship God if you're carrying sin against him. Period. It can't be done. It does not work that way. It will not work that way, guys. It will not work. You must be right with God in order to worship him. How can you be right with each other and have fellowship? Well, how much more so can we not be right with God and have fellowship with him? At least if I'm wrong, at least if I have a problem with you and you have me, we may not know it and we may be okay anyway. If I'm talking behind your back, you don't know it, so I can still be fellowship with you, even though it's hypocritical. But God, you can't do that with God. He knows. Okay? He knows. So with God, I cannot be acceptable to him and I cannot worship him unless I am in agreement with him and I am in obedience with him and I'm right with him. So when we come to worship God, anytime you can worship God, you better be right with God. Or else it's a waste of time, waste of effort. It's all a show. And you know what? God hates a show. Remember the guy in the temple there in the synagogue. You know, I'm glad I'm not like the other guy there. Blah blah blah. You know, it was a show. He talked about things he did. That's a show. The other guy who was sorry for his sin. That's what God said was right. Because he made himself right with God when the other guy just told God how good he was. You worship God. You have to worship God in seriousness and in obedience. Excuse me. Please turn with me now to 1 Chronicles 16, 28 and 29. We're moving through these quickly. First Chronicles 16, 28 and 29. Give unto the Lord, ye kindreds of the people, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name, bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Wow. Here it is. How do we come to the Lord? I mean, how do we come to the Lord when we come to church? How do we come to the Lord when we come to him and worship in a private time? Well, it says, first of all, you better give him the honor and glory. Okay? You better give him the glory and strength that he deserves. You better give him the honor and glory. If you don't honor and think God is glorified and you don't glorify God, not worshiping. It's not worship. Okay? Then it says give the Lord the glory, do his name, bring an offering. and come unto him. Wow. Now that's under the law, but that's under grace too. Bring an offering, you come to God. Give him something. And it doesn't mean money. God, you know, money is cheap. You know what's not cheap? Your time. Give your time to God, that's valuable. Okay? Give God your strength, that's valuable. Give God your life, that's valuable. I'm not saying not to give money. But what I am saying is we can easily give money and not give God anything else. That's not worship. God wants you completely. So God wants your time, your talent. God wants you to give him everything you got. And you know what? It doesn't matter how big or little it is. It doesn't matter. If it's everything you got, it's everything you got. You know, I'm amazed to see people serve God with not much talent, but heart. And that's what God honors. God honors a heart. So that's what God wants from us. He don't care about our talent. When you come to God, bring him your heart. He'll take care of everything else. Easily done. If you couldn't do it, he wouldn't be God. And if he's not God, why are we here worshiping him? So if you're here worshiping him and you believe in God, then bring yourself to him. See what he can do with you. Is there no telling what he can't do with you if you surrender to God? No telling. All right. Let's look at Psalm 138, 2. Matter of fact, I'll start with 1 because it's a good lead-in. 138, 1 and 2. Okay, Psalm 138, 1 and 2. I will praise thee with my whole heart. Before the gods I will sing praise unto thee. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. Thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. A couple of good reasons to worship God. See, David gives a couple of good reasons to worship God. I praise your name for your loving kindness. If God didn't have loving kindness with us, we'd all be in hell. Okay? So God has loving kindness to us. He doesn't want anyone to be lost and in hell forever. God has loving kindness. He desires us all to be saved. We need to worship him for that loving kindness. That's a powerful trait in him. A lot of us, we can't forgive people because they hurt us. God forgives the people that put us unto death. Okay? So we worship his loving kindness. And for thy truth. And that's why I said magnify that word above all anything, because that word is truth, right? That's what the Bible says. Thy word is truth. God gave you and I the truth. We have it, folks. We have the truth of the scriptures. We're all holding the truth in our hands here. God gave it to us. We need to worship him and honor him because he gave this to us. Because he is truth. You know, it's amazing how many people will fall for a lie and worship a lie. It's amazing how many people who do not worship God worship everything in the world. It's a lie. They worship the creation. Not the creator, but the creation. That's a lie. Creation lies to you. Creator never does. You see, the problem with people is easy to believe these lies because it's easy because that satisfies their flesh. We want to satisfy our souls. And that's by the truth of God. So we need to worship God because he gives us the truth and his word. The word saved me. Did the word save you? All right. Let's go to Matthew. Now, oh, no, Daniel. One more verse in Old Testament. Daniel chapter 3, 5. I'm sorry, Isaiah. Isaiah 2, 8. Then Daniel. I'm reading the wrong lines here, folks. It's like when I pick a wrong song, at least I have Darius over there to tell me it's wrong. She doesn't know if I have the wrong verse. When I start giving you these things, then you can say wrong verse. All right. Isaiah 2:8. The land also is full of idols. They worship the work of their own hands, of that which their own fingers have made. Man loves to worship his own works. This has been throughout history, folks. We stand in awe of what man has accomplished. Right? How many people stand in awe when they look at the Empire State Building? We stand in awe. We stand in awe when we look at Hoover Dam. stand in awe. We stand in awe when we see the Mount Rushmore. We stand in awe. A man did that. And we stand in awe about that. Do we stand in awe about God? What God has done? And I'm not talking about the great creation. I'm talking about in your life. If you don't have awe about what God has done for you, you can't worship him. Man worships whatever he made. They really do. Man worships whatever he makes. I mean, man worships the internet. Man worships the things like that. Man worships his accomplishments, whatever they are. I did this and I did that and I completed this and I completed that. And man worships himself. But you know what? Those are false gods made by our own hands. We're made by God's hands. So nothing we make is anything great. So we need to worship God for what he has done and for what he has created. And not the stuff we made. The stuff we made is temporal. It all goes away. You know, there's things out there that have been around a long time. They'll all be dust eventually. We went and saw the Colosseum in Rome. A lot of it's been restored because it's been falling away. There's original parts and there's parts that just, you know, reconstructed. And that's a lot in a lot of the ruins of the world because they're falling away. They're just turned to dust. And so they're just being fixed. I remember we were in Sri Lanka and went to this big mountain fort where the Sri Lankans went. We had to climb up steps in the rocks. It's not like America where they put steps and the thing. We had to climb these little rocks. I mean, just carving the rock over the top of the fortress. When we get to the fortress, the top, there's these frescoes up there painted of these their gods, right? And it had a cage around it, and they were touching it up, you know. And we didn't see that stuff, but it was obviously touching it up. And we said, yeah, the ancients are painting it again, you know. We made a joke about it. Then a little bit later when I got home, it was on PBS about how old that painting was. Okay, but you know what? You know, that was amazing. But God made the earth where that painting's on. And we were in awe of that painting, and they worshiped that painting because their gods were there. But our God made that rock that they painted their gods on. It's not what God, man's hands have done. All right? Now, Daniel 3:5. All right. You all know what's going on here. Nebuchadnezzar made this statue, right? He moved himself, and he's going to be a real big guy here. He wants everybody to worship him. He's in verse 5. It says, now, that when the time ye hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king has set up. Don't tell the world who, how, and when you worship. Don't the world tell you that. We worship when God has to worship. We worship who God is and not anybody else. We worship the way God wants to be worshipped, not the way the world worships. You know, now the world, a lot of churches worship the way the world worships. Okay? No. We don't worship that way. We worship God the way he wants to be worshipped. Not the way it pleases man, but a worship that pleases God. Okay? We worship God. We don't worship false gods, and we don't let it tell us what we have to worship. You know, we don't have to worship anybody they say to worship. We are free to worship God, and that's the truth whether we're free or not. Let's look at the countries like China. And all the countries around Asia and Russia, where people die for their faith because they will not worship who they're told to. The Russians said, you can go to the Orthodox Church, but you can't go to this kind of church. Well, you know what? The Orthodox Church is just a false church. They don't care about that. All right? 3 years, the Catholics said, you worship the Catholic Church, we'll put you to death. But what happened? Well, the saved people just chose death. Because they were not being told who to worship, how to worship, when to worship, and why to worship. Only God gives us those commands. And we worship only God in his way. All right? All right, let's go now to Matthew. We'll look at the New Testament here. Got a few verses of the New Testament. We're almost done. Matthew 4, verse 3 to 11. I don't like to read this all. I'm starting to get a little dry. But what happened is the devil is tempting Christ. And in verse 4, he says, it is written, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Then the devil tempts Christ again. You know what happens? Jesus says in verse 7, it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And again, the devil takes him up to the high place, jump down, and dollar saving you, and I'll worship you. And he said, hey, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, him only shall thou worship. Then no one shall serve. Then the devil leaveth, and behold, the angels came and ministered unto him. You want strength against the devil? You want strength against sin? What did Jesus do? He worshiped God. He said, no, worship is God. He would not worship the devil. Only God is worthy of worship. You see that? He quotes God's word, and he says that only God should be worshiped. You want to be strong? You want to be strong against sin? You want to be strong against the devil? Worship God. Be in his word. That's power. Worshiping God gives you power over sin, over Satan. Imagine that. You have power. Is the power yours? No. The power is Christ in you. The power is Spirit in you, because when you're worshiping God, the Holy Spirit gives you power to resist. Resist the devil and flee from you. Well, how's that happen? Well, through worship, through putting Christ first. All right? John 4, 19 to 24. This is the woman at the well. And she says, oh, I perceive you're a prophet, right? Then in verse 21, it picks up. He says, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet in Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, you know not what. But we know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour has come, and now is, that the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. Think about this. Worshiping God in truth. It does. You know, he says, it doesn't matter here, there. You know, Jerusalem's the right place to worship, but that's secondary to who you're worshiping. You know, some people, oh, that's my church. I belong to it for 75 years. I'm going to stay there till I die. Doesn't matter what happens. Well, no. You worship God in spirit and truth. It doesn't matter. People say, I have to worship in this building. I have to worship in that building. I must go to that church. No, you go to where the truth is, and you worship God in spirit and truth. It's not the building, folks. It's not the location. It is the word of God that has the power. It's the Spirit that has the power. That's why I come to this church, because the Spirit of God is here. Because the power of God is here. The truth is here. If it wasn't, I'd go somewhere else. That's why I left a church, because they left the truth. Okay? They left the truth, I left them. Didn't matter. I was there 40 years. Didn't matter. You know, you don't die in the church because you're a member of a church. You stay with the word of God. And that's what Christ is saying here. It don't matter. You worship here, we worship there. It's not. There's going to be a time where it doesn't matter where you worship. It's going to matter if you worship God. That's what's going to matter. It's not going to matter what kind of worship you did. It's going to matter who you worshiped. You want to worship God in spirit and truth. All right. A couple more verses. Acts 17, 23. Excuse me. 17, 23. My wife and I, we were up at the Parthenon in Greece, and from the Parthenon you could look across and see Mars Hill, and we saw Mars Hill, and we forgot about the Parthenon behind us. We were so excited about seeing Mars Hill. It's just a rocky outcrop. It's nothing, right? And yet everybody was just staring at it. It's Mars Hill. That's Mars Hill, right? And so Paul's up on Mars Hill, and in verse 20, he says, "For I passed by." And beheld your devotions, and have found an altar inscription to the unknown God, whom you therefore ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. The world doesn't know who they're worshiping. And they're so afraid that they're not getting everybody, that they try to include everybody and their brother. That's why you have pantheism, you have, multi-theism. You have religions like Shintoism that has all these multiple gods. You have Catholicism, which has all these saints that are raised to the level of God. Okay? Why does that happen? We have Mormonism that believe they're going to become gods themselves. Okay? Why is that? Because they don't know who they worship. See? Paul says, wait a minute. You're ignorantly worshiping this guy. Let me tell you about him. Because they had so many gods, it wasn't even funny. Okay? But he says, wait a minute. You're worried about an unknown God. Let me tell you who he is. one true God. Paul knew it, and Paul steered him to it. Folks, we need to be careful that we don't get off the path and fall into this thing about who we don't know who we're worshiping. We better know who God is. We better have him front and center of our minds, study his word, know who God is, and then worship him and not these false gods. One more verse, Revelation 14:9. I ran out of bookmarks. I'll look for that one. Revelation 14:9. Not too far away. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast in his image and receive his mark in his forehead in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture in the cup. I'm going to go right past the verses. Don't worship the devil. But it says in verse 13 here, and I heard a voice, behold, heaven is bright. Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. For henceforth, yea, the Spirit say, they may rest from their labors, the works will follow them. And they are themselves now where? They're in heaven. And what are they doing in heaven? They worship God. What's that? They're worshiping God. Do you notice what we need to worship God now? We're going to do it forever. Shame on us if it's something new when we get to heaven. They worshiped God in heaven. And I'm in the wrong chapter. I got that wrong, sorry. At any rate, we're going to worship God in heaven. It could be 24. No, it's not only 24. Okay. Anyway, the point is that forever we're going to worship God in heaven. And if you don't like worshiping God here, you're not going to like heaven. Okay? Matter of fact, if you don't like worshiping God here, you're probably not going to heaven. Because your heart, it should be desirous to worship. And one day we're going to worship him face to face. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine we're going to be able to see the face of God and worship him face to face? I can't fathom that. But that's why we need to worship him here. Because one day we're going to be with him and worshiping him there. And he'd be disappointed if we didn't worship here correctly. All right. That's about worship. Hope I gave you a little bit of insight of what worship really is. Time for prayer requests.